When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun,
we've no less days to sing us praise than when we first believed.
Last week, when I stood here, I look out the window and I could see the bush or whatever, the hedge coming up over the window. But now I look out and I don't see the bush already cut down. That sure is nice. And then I look at the windows and those beautiful curtains. I appreciate that. This building looks nice. Let me tell you something, folks. We got a nice room to come to. To be able to come in here to worship. We got a nice clean building. And then I look back there at that bulletin board. I'm always interested in that bulletin board. It's all that bulletin board changes every month. I remember going to a fellowship meeting, one of our fellowship churches one time. In particular, for some reason, I don't know why, but I noticed on the bulletin board there was a piece of paper, a note of some sort. Fellowship meetings are generally, it was a kind of round robin, took 6 or 7 months to come back to a church. Well, next time we had a fellowship meeting at that church, I went in there and went in the door, and the first thing I saw was that bulletin board, and lo and behold, there was that same piece of paper on that bulletin board 6 months later. And I thought to myself, I haven't changed that thing yet. It don't happen around here. And boy, has it ever changed this month. 25 years, the Lord has blessed Ramona and me to be a member here at Temple Baptist Church. I really appreciate the pictures. Those of you, and I think it's primarily Lori Collins, fixing that bulletin board up like you have, with all those pictures over the past 25 years. I need to get a picture of that bulletin board and show it to my kids that are not here. I really appreciate what you've done back there, but I've enjoyed my time here with you. How much longer it's going to be? I know one thing, it won't be that long again. But I've enjoyed the past 25 years here as your pastor. I'd like to invite your attention now to the book of John, chapter number 10. I want to speak to you on the subject, I am the door of the sheep. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse number 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. A door is a very necessary thing. A door is essential to an enclosure to go in, to go out. A room without a door, I don't know if you call it a room or not. Doors are necessary to an enclosure. Some doors are very elaborate doors. Some doors are just very simple. Doors and gates have been made from almost every known material. Stone, wood, glass, bamboo, plastic, many others. Some doors have handles, knobs. Doors have hinges. Some doors have removable panels or screens. Some doors are screen doors. Some doors have knockers, peepholes, locks. There are various other kinds of doors. Storm doors, front doors, back doors, gate doors, side doors, as well as doors to rooms, doors to churches, doors to vehicles, doors to closets, all kinds of doors. Familiarity, actually, with this idea is exactly what Jesus had in mind when his disciples, he told them, he said, I am the door of the sheepfold. Jesus is the door. Now, building on all of this that we know about doors and their function, we can see what Jesus was saying here about himself and God's kingdom. I want to consider this for a little bit. What a door is for. Number one, a door is for coming and going. A door is for coming in, for going out. Jesus is the doorway to God and his kingdom. And Jesus makes this very plain in John chapter 10 and verse number 9, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Some folks want to be saved, but they don't want to go in by the door. I want to get saved their way. Not a matter of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, going to him. I like to do it their way. One person said to me, I live a good life. I'm a good person. But living a good life and being a good person don't get you to heaven. You can live a good life and be a good person and still wind up and go to hell.
Yep.
You bypass the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot bypass the Lord Jesus Christ. Mankind is looking for a way to eternal life. Jesus is the entryway. He said, "I am the door." That's in John chapter 10 and verse number 9. He said this because so many claim to be the true avenue to God, but they're not. There's only one way. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way. He didn't say, "I am a way." He said, "I am the way." That means the only way. You bypass the Lord Jesus, you bypass heaven. He is the way. He's the only way to heaven. John chapter 9, a man has been excommunicated from organized religion. To many Jews, this was the same as having been cut off from God. But Jesus reassures this man and the disciples that the true way to come to God is through Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way." Jesus further called himself the door of the sheep. Sheep did not just come to the sheepfold to spend the rest of their lives to live in the sheepfold. In the sheepfold, they come in and they go out. And Jesus is the door. Again in verse number 9, he continues by saying that his sheep will come in and go out and find pasture. That's what they do. Here in John chapter 10 and verse number 9. Now, this refers to the sheepfold as a place of rest and restitution and strength during the night or during a storm. But on the morrow, they go back out into the pasture for the door. You come in for protection, and you go out, back out into the pasture. Now, this is a good truth. We enter God's kingdom through Jesus. There's no thought here of losing our salvation. There's no such thing as losing your salvation. I know that is the most popular thought that there is in the world, actually. Most all religions, Catholics, all of your Protestant groups, all of your Pentecostal groups, they all believe you can be saved and then lose your salvation. We are Baptists. Did you know that we are the only ones, except there may be one splinter group of Presbyterians, but we're the only ones that believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. All of the rest of them believe that you can get saved and then sin some way or other and die, lost your salvation, go to hell. Well, the Bible don't teach that at all. I was born, to all the rest of you, into my family. I may not have been the best child that mom and daddy ever had, but I'm still a king. I'm still a king. You may not be the best child your mom and daddy ever had, but you're still one of their children. You may not be the best child of God that God ever had, but you're still His. Once you've been born into God's family, you cannot get unborn. It stays that way. You thank God it's that way. I remember one time, I don't know if it was here, it had to be at probably Park Ridge. The lady came before the church, and I was talking to her a little bit, and she said, "Oh, I've been saved many times." I think I must have asked her if she had been saved. She said, "I've been saved many times, but I come today, I want to get saved again." The poor thing had not been taught right all of her life. You can't get saved but one time. There's no such thing as being saved twice. There is such a thing as being saved and then getting out of fellowship with the Lord, but then coming back into fellowship, but you didn't get saved again. You only get saved one time.
Yep.
Get saved one. To get saved is to be born again. You can only be born again one time. And you thank the Lord that He does it just that way. So we enter God's kingdom through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, you come to Christ for rest, for restitution, for comfort. Then we go back out into the world. This is our source of strength from time to time. Lord, I tell you what, it's good for us. You thank God that you have a Bible that you can read and you get some strength from the reading of the Word of God. But then not only do you thank the Lord for the fact that you got a Bible that you can read and get strength from the Word of God, but thank God you got a church you can go to, have fellowship with other believers. It is strengthening to me just to be in your presence, to be able to be here with you and join with you as we sing together hymns of praise. It strengthens me. It strengthens you too in the Lord. We need each other. We need our fellowship with the Lord on a personal basis, but we need each other. And we are a help one to another. I need you, but at the same time, I recognize you need me. And that could be said to every one of us. You need me and I need you. We need each other. So we come together and we have fellowship together. It's a joy, it's a blessing just to be able to shake hands with another brother or sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. We shake hands and some hands are this little bitty skinny hands and some hands are great big fat hands, but they're hands. the hand of a brother or sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some hands are dry, some hands are wet. What you do? You get one of those that's wet, shake your hand off them, and shake hands with another one. Yeah. But it's good to be able to shake hands. Some people, they're huggers. Personally, I'm not much of a hugger. But I am a handshaker. And I enjoy shaking hands with brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And always come out. With a blessing when we've been in the house of God and shaking hands with other people. So, a door is for coming in, for going out. And then number two, a door is for protection and for safety. In the first century, there were two kinds of sheepfold. One kind was located in the village and was a community shelter where several shepherds might leave their flocks overnight or maybe for several days. This sheepfold usually had a strong door and also a keeper of the door. Then there's a second sheepfold located in the countryside. This is a more modest sheepfold. It was usually a stone wall or fenced enclosure without any door or gate, and the shepherd slept in the doorway. And the sheep could go out without his notice. No sheep could go out without his notice. No wild beast could come in without his being awakened. In most literal sense, the shepherd was the door. Now, whether Jesus had reference to the village sheepfold, or that was a strong wall guarded, or whether it's referring to the rural sheepfold with the shepherd as the door, that's immaterial. In either case, the sheep are protected and can rest in peace knowing they're safe. You know, the sheep could hear a noise and then look up and see the shepherd, and then he could lay his head back down and rest because he sees the shepherd. Well, it's the same thing with us. We can have rest knowing that the shepherd is close by. Oh, thank God for the closeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. The anxiety of life is a constant threat to our safety and well-being. And Jesus offers us the reassurance that he is our protector. Psalm 23 and verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. He cares and provides for us. We are his sheep. He cares more for you than you care for yourself. He gladly laid down his life for us. During the night, sheep might be startled. Wake up! And when he did, he looked toward the gate. And if he could see that shepherd sitting or lying at the gate, he could know, even in his fear, the shepherd was there. Jesus is our door of protection and safety. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, I want you to notice, a door is for opening and closing. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the absolute only way to God. There is a door. There is a way into God's favor. And that door, it's as broad as the heart of God. A door that's open to all races of people, all kinds, all ages, both sexes, persons, both rich and poor. It's a door open to important people. It's a door open to forgotten people. It's a door open to you. You thank God for this door. It's a door that's open to powerful people, even slaves. The door is open even to slaves. Revelation 21, 12 and 13. Heaven is described as having a great high wall. Three gates on the east. Three gates on the north. Three gates on the south. And three gates on the west. And through these gates, persons who trust in Christ come from every nation on earth. And the door is open. The invitation is clear. Here in John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I am the door. Everyone who enters through him will be saved." But there are two implications here. All other doors are closed. Those who seek to enter into God's kingdom through some other door other than the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll find their doors closed. They can knock all they will. But if they're not knocking on the door of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no answer there. Because God's not there. God is not there. They find a dead end. These doors lead nowhere. Some will not open at all. And those who find doors that do open will find they're useless. They go nowhere. Oh, there's lots of people who are entering in other doors. They get very busy and doing other things. But Jesus is not there. They get very busy in religion. But Jesus is not there. And then down at the end, they say, "But Lord, Lord, have we not done many things?" And he said, "Depart from me, I know you not." And a lot of people very much involved in religion, the way they dress, the way they carry on a service and so on like that, it looks all so religious. But Jesus said, "Depart from me, I know you not." Can you imagine having a service very religious service, people bowing to that sort of thing, but the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ not even mentioned? It's because they don't know him. That door is closed. The door is closed. If Jesus returns before you die, when the bridegroom comes, all who prepared, they'll enter in. But those who do not know Jesus Christ will not go in because they've never trusted the Lord Jesus. They may have been very religious in many things, but if they have not trusted Christ, their religion is vain. In Matthew 25 and verse number 11, those who are unprepared, the bridegroom, begged them to open the door, but the response is negative. The door is now open today. And you thank God the door is open today. But one day, the door will be closed. One day the door will be closed. It's a sad thought, but it's not open always. It's obvious from this passage that Jesus saw himself as the only true door to God. He is. He offers us eternal life if we believe that he is the way to heaven. Do you believe that Jesus is the way to heaven? He further provides us with safety and with protection from the wild enemies of life. The wildest doors open, it will soon, someday, be closed. I say, not this to frighten you, but rather to demonstrate the urgency of response to him. There's no other door to God than Jesus Christ. I recognize who I'm speaking to. I look at the people on this side, I look at the people on this side, and I believe that 99% of my congregation is saved people. But if you're not saved, you need to be saved. The question is this: can you pay attention long enough to repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior? You come to church, let me tell you something, folks. You need to get your head out of your iPad. You need to get your head out of your computer. You need to sit up and listen. If you don't listen, don't expect the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. Let's all stand, please. Brother David, would you read our closing prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, think for each one that's here today. Be with them and be with the ones that ain't here today. Be with Miss Kay, more of them, and just be with her to take care of her husband. And, just be with each one of us. We can go home and keep us all safe and guide us to the right thing. And just be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.